Welcome, welcome, welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. This is the Christmas edition. It is Christmas morning. Hope it's cold where you are. It's cold where I'm at, and I'm very excited about that. And we come your way every Sunday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., Monday mornings at 1 a.m., and we stream live at richarddugan.com. The radio show's page is where we put the podcast, and we also link to our guests' website. And we are really, really excited to have as returning holiday guests, because they're going to talk about the holiday aspects. And basically something that we've talked about before, very excited, didn't get a chance to see it when it rolled through California. Maybe one of these days I will. But right now we're going to talk to the Ula guru and seeker. We've got a book out called Ula, Find Balance in an Unbalanced World. The book I have in front of me is number 7, Find Balance, the 7 areas you need to balance and grow to live the life of your dreams. And Dave Braun and Troy Amadal, I want to thank you, Ula guru and seeker. Welcome back on a Christmas morning.
Thank you, and Merry Christmas. Hey, Richard, Merry Christmas to you.
It's exciting to have you guys back here, not only on a Christmas morning, but just having you back before we jump into 2018, a new year. Hopefully we all will develop a certain level of optimism for the future that seems to have, I don't know, somewhat been lacking over the last 12 months or more. Just due to our own personal current events here in the United States. I don't know about the rest of the world, but I actually want to talk about that wonderful van. First of all, can you give me a guesstimate as to how many miles does that thing have on it now?
Well, if we had an odometer that worked, we could tell you that. We count the Ula bus by number of engines, and we're currently on engine number 3.
Oh,
so It's hundreds of thousands of miles.
And it's a Volkswagen van, not a bus, although it looks quite similar to the Volkswagen bus that my parents bought when I was a kid. That's what they had. I still remember the test drive bus they brought over. It had a drinking fountain in it. And we thought, how cool is that? That's going to be great. Of course, when the actual van showed up or bus showed up in the driveway that they purchased, there was no drinking fountain.
but I would bet if it's anything like our bus, there's fluids leaking somewhere from that van.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know it. And, of course, we lived in Phoenix, and I know Troy. Is it Troy, you're in Phoenix?
I am.
Okay. You know what the roads are like, I-17 going up to Flagstaff and the steep hills. And we would have to stop a couple of times going up I-17 towards Flagstaff to let the engine cool down. Because it didn't, what is it, doesn't have a radiator? I forget what it doesn't have that required you to do that. Plus, it didn't have the real torque to, you know, go full bore for, 120 miles or whatever it is up those steep roads.
But it's all 58 horsepower air cooled. So we had the same challenge in your beautiful state going through Big Sur.
Oh, how bad.
DCH. So,
yeah.
But that's kind of the point of the bus, is to just slow it down and meet people and talk about life.
And how many, and we'll talk about this as well. We'll let people know what this is about. Can you tell me a guesstimate as to how many stickers are on the van? And to that, how much wider and longer has the van gotten?
Well, we do keep a count. On our website at ulalife.com, there's a counter, and right now that's at 83,000, which equates to 19 layers of handwritten dreams on that bus, which is just, if you think of, you were talking about how sideways the world seems to be going, but when we meet people one by one and they reconnect to a dream they have for their life and want positive change, it's powerful. I mean, it's so cool to collect the dreams of the people we're meeting. Yeah.
Now, I would like to talk with the I would like to speak in a very what do I want to say here? Reverential fashion to the Ula guru. because he has all the answers. He can give us the wisdom of the ages that will serve us until we enter that next life.
Well, yeah, you're saying it like tongue-in-cheek, which is the guru is like tongue-in-cheek. It's just definitely learned my lessons by the mistakes I've made. But you know what's so beautiful about when we're having this conversation is it's Christmas.
Yeah.
And we've been celebrating the holidays, but everyone starts looking down the calendar a few days to 2018. And that's really what ULA was. It's not some deep wisdom. It's just based in a core belief that we're all designed not to be average, but to be extraordinary. And the reality is we can't see that many times because we're just cluttered with the weight of a busy holiday season or debt or toxic relationships. And we don't even see that anymore. We're just in this chaos of day to day and the negativity all around us in the news. And we forget why we're on this planet and a dream we have.
Yeah.
And that's all we're saying. It's like, as you look to 2018, you as an individual, because we all have, as we collect the dreams on the bus, that's the thing we realize, is the dreams that we're collecting are unique as the people we're meeting. People have different career dreams, different places they want to retire or live, different things they qualify as fun. And we're saying, hey, in 2018, this is something we started in 1997 as a group of guys. We sat on the floor at the Hard Rock with no cards in front of us in 7 stacks and said, okay, not only just money and business, which a lot of people set goals, but what is my family going to look like in 2018?
Yeah.
How about for fun? How about what am I going to do for a faith walk or in my career? And we would set goals and say, this is where I am right in this moment, December 25th, 2017. Where do I want to be in 2018? And most importantly, what are the action steps I'm going to take to make that happen?
It's been said that we are where we are as individuals. We are where we are because of the choices we've made in the past. And that the only way we're going to get where we want to be is by making, as you said, action steps, but making those choices that will get us to where we want to be and not just, oh, I made these choices and somehow, I don't know how it happened, but here I am, Christmas 2017, and I can't figure out how in the Sam Hill I got here. I don't know what the transportation mode was. I don't even know on the map what the path was, but here I am. And it's like, wait a minute, how is that even possible that you don't know how you got here? And it seems to me like we need to sort of take a little bit of a retrospect. And I'm wondering if you've done that individually, maybe that 20 years ago, you said in 1997, you were sitting around saying, what's it going to be like 20 years from now? Where am I going to be? Family, et cetera, et cetera. And so we're now asking that same question as far as just 1 year, not 20, but one. I mean, in 2018. So let me ask you, first of all, Troy, are you where you wanted to be 20 years ago when you started this?
Yeah, we had some long-term vision, but really it's something we did every year. So this is why it's a beautiful time to have this conversation. Every December we would do this. It started 20 years ago, but every year we did set some long-term vision. I remember I grew up in Minnesota, and I remember my dad working 3 jobs to provide for 4 kids in a very middle-class America household.
Mm-hmm.
And as grateful as I was for a roof over my head and food on the table, I wanted time with my dad, you know, like every little kid.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing myself in 11th grade grabbing a notepad going, I want to be debt-free and retired by the time I'm 40 so I can enjoy life and time with my kids.
And
it took me until 42. But I never lost sight of that dream. I never lost. And that's what I think happens is we have dreams when we're young. And we get so busy in the day-to-day of life that you'd be surprised, Richard, how many times we roll that bus up to a donut shop or a coffee shop. People come and ask us what it's about, and we say, hey, we're collecting dreams. And we hand them a Sharpie and a sticker, and their eyes just gloss over in tears.
Yeah,
they've lost touch. They have no idea. They have no idea what they want anymore. They're just trying to get through the day.
Yeah.
And all we're saying is let's back out of that chaos and say, okay, is this really – here's the statistics. We just spoke at an event, and we had to look up the statistics. Here's the statistics if we look at these 7 areas. 37% of us are clinically obese. There are 5 million, with all of the quick fix and infomercial stuff out there, there are 5 million more people obese this year than last year. There are 7 out of 10 of our families have less than $1,000 saved for an emergency fund, and debt is completely out of control. 53% of our marriages end in divorce. 55% of us, Richard, drive every day to a job we hate. So just think about that. That's who we're meeting. That's us as a society. It's like, hey, we wake up Monday morning with the weight of debt and then health issues, and we drive to a job we hate, and we turn around and face a spouse we can't stand.
And you know what's interesting about that?
Yeah.
That has absolutely nothing to do. Those statistics have, in my opinion, have nothing to do with who's sitting in the governor's mansion, who's running the legislature at any given state or in Congress or the Senate and House, or who's sitting in the White House. That is all on us as individuals, in my opinion.
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head, and that's what we're telling people. This isn't going to be an outside-in fix.
Yeah.
If you want positive change, the fastest path to a better version of you, are you looking at your life and saying, hey, life is better this year? Is you get busy working on you. And I'm doing the same thing. Dave's doing the same thing. That's what we're saying.
Yeah.
Instead of us just sitting around and waiting, you know, for some magic pill for our health or some to win the lottery for our finances, it's like, what can I do? Because what can I do in this moment to move me in the direction of my dreams? And that's all we're at. That's how our motto on the side of our bus says, change the world with a word.
Yeah.
And that word is ULA, which comes from ooh-la-la. Mm-hmm. That's how it feels.
Yeah.
And all we do is say, hey, this is what would make me and my family and my life better. I'm going to make that change. And then I'll naturally, if that happens, I'll put off a light that will inspire other people to do the same. That's how we're going to change the world.
So,
and we believe that firmly, and it's like one sticker at a time.
Yeah. So we're going to shift over to the seeker, the one who knows absolutely nothing and is trying to get all the answers now. What about
Merry
you,
Christmas
Dave?
To you too, Richard.
What's that? Hey, I'm with you, pal. I'm looking to the guru for the answers, okay?
Tell me
about your perspective. I mean, over the past 20 years, how has your life transformed since you've begun this journey? And are you where, even if it was last year, the year before, what have you, are you where you want to be today by virtue of the dreams that you set forth over the past 20 years?
Yeah, one of the interesting things is when you look back, I don't think you can project exactly where you're going to be. You have these big dreams. We always tell people, Troy just mentioned we came from an event called Lollapalooza in Vegas. It's almost sold out for next year already. It's a very popular event. And we have people dream of where they want to be in 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. And that's really just a lighthouse in the distance. And, you know, you dream to open up your vision of what you want for your life. And then you set goals of what are you going to do in the next 1 week, 1 month, 1 year? What are you going to do for 2018? And the timeliness of this phone call is amazing because twofold. One is Christmas is a great time to reflect back on 17. And it's a great time during the next week is to start looking forward to what you want in 2018. And then also a lot of people are going to be dealing with little financial issues from Christmas. Maybe you're driving right now to a family issue, which we can touch on as well, because it's one of the F's is dealing with family, you know, toxic families, amazing family relationships, creating relationships and memories of family. But when I look back for the listeners that don't know my story, is I met Dr. Troy in 1997, and he taught me ULA. He taught me about stepping outside of your life for a couple days, even for a couple hours, for those of you that are new to ULA, and saying, where am I in these seven areas? Where do I want my life to go, and how am I going to get there? And then I remember very clearly when I was talking to him in 1997, just saying, imagine what your life would look like. And for all the listeners listening right now, imagine what your life would look like if you balanced your finances, you balanced your family relationships, you had better friendships, you were having fun in life, you loved your job. Imagine that and then back up from that and start with where you are today.
Yeah.
And like I said, for the listeners that don't know my story, starting in 1997, 1998, 1999, I started living that dream, Richard. Like I started living, if you would have this conversation in 2000, I would say, Richard, I am living my dream exactly how I had planned it out. But in 2007, 2008, I made choices. When you talk about choices, it's not government. I have no idea who was managing the government at that time. But in 2007, 2008, 2009, I went through and lost everything, went through a divorce, lost my house, lost my car, lived in a motel, filed bankruptcy. I had nothing left. So by 2010, 7-8 years ago, I was sitting on the other end of this conversation. If you'd had a talk with me, I'd have said, I have no idea how I even got here.
Yeah.
But when you look back in retrospect, I know exactly how I got there. And it was making bad choices financially, making bad choices in my marriage. One of the key things we just talked about in Lulapalooza is if you're married and you're not working on your marriage, you're working on your divorce, period. So if you're married and you're not working on it today, you're working on your divorce by default. And I wasn't working on my marriage. I was working on my divorce. And ultimately, 2010, found myself divorced and bankrupt. So now sitting here today looking back, I would say the dream is almost better than what I could have planned in 2010, 2011. I remember reaching out to Dr. Troy, living in a motel, and saying, dude, like, buddy, you're not even going to believe this. I mean, you're retired. You have houses around the world, married to your high school sweetheart, running Ironman, and you know, being very active and giving and donating to your church in an orphanage, and I am living in a motel broke, and I have 5 kids that don't even have a home. And he said to me at the time, he said, let's get back to the core of ULA, the core of ULA, and let's get back to where are you, where do you want to go, and how are you going to get there? And then that next day, I wrote down on a notebook, which I still have sitting on my computer desk, looks at me every morning. And when it came to field, it said, God, if this works for me, I want to share this with the world. Like, I want to be a visionary leader, educator, entertainer, facilitator of ULA around the world. So looking at that dream and looking back, I wrote that dream 7 years ago. And there's a million people following ULA on the bus. Troy's talking about 19 layers of stickers on the ULA bus. One of those layers, an entire layer, is a gal who found the ULA bus. She was lost going through a divorce, and it inspired her to get back to mission work. And she goes, I used to be in mission work in Nicaragua and loved it, and I got out of it and got into a bad relationship, an abusive relationship, a relationship with drug addiction in it. And I just got out of that, and now I'm sitting here broke, and I don't know what to do. And she got back into mission work. And she went down to Nicaragua and took 8,000 stickers to Nicaragua. Dr. Troy talked about change the world with a word, not change California or Phoenix or Utah or North Dakota or Minnesota, not just the United States, change the world with a word. She was down in Nicaragua, collected 8,000 handwritten stickers from people who've never even heard of the word dreaming outside of what happens when you go to sleep at night. Yeah. And she got 8,000 stickers of women and children and men who are like, this is what I want to do with my life. I can have a better life in Nicaragua, and brought those back. There's a whole layer of stickers that are just dedicated to a country in Nicaragua. So am I living my dream? It's beyond my wildest dreams. You know, when I said I want to be a visionary leader, educator, entertainer, facilitator of ULA around the world, I had no idea what that meant. And I definitely couldn't have envisioned a 1970s VW bus with stickers around it in one whole layer dedicated to the country of Nicaragua. And what I know in my heart, Richard, is what Troy said. This is why he's a guru. He said, you're designed for greatness and a purpose, and you don't live an ordinary life, live extraordinary. And for those listeners right now that are pulling up to a Christmas dinner thinking, man, I'm going to come out of this Christmas dinner stressed out with family. I'm going to be stressed out with finances. 2017 was a terrible year. 2017 was a stressful year. My marriage is hanging on by a thread. I'm telling you, there's hope. And the hope starts with immediately, if not by at least tomorrow, looking at these seven areas and saying, okay, where am I and what do I want? And then, just like you said, Richard, making those choices going into 2018 to say, I'm going to start making choices that make my life better to you, better in 2018 and 2017. And miraculously, it's not going to change immediately. You're not going to be like, well, okay, I made a decision on December 26th, and by January 3rd, 2018, my life is amazing. You're going to have to work, and you're going to have to hustle, and you're going to have amazing good days. And you're going to have what we call so-called bad days, and they're all going to be leading you to a different life. But you're going to be sitting here in a different place Christmas 2018 than you were in 2017 if you start making choices today.
Well, first of all, I want to let our listeners know that I joke with our guests because, and I have great, not only do I have great respect for the two of you, but I also envy you because a year ago at this time, literally at this time, my wife and I, we're on for the first time in 10 years, we were on a 1 week vacation. And it was changing over the course of the 4 months leading up to it. What we ended up doing was driving our Volvo from Santa Barbara up the coast and we drew, then going inland, we ended up going to Yosemite to one of the items that was on her bucket list, which was the Bracebridge dinner in Yosemite at the, I can't even remember the name of the hotel now. But anyway, what an extraordinary experience that was. And then driving up to Nevada City and then visiting another little community. We've had the folks on from the Nanda Village up here, up there on this program a number of times as well. And the one thing that I said when we started out, and it was actually Saturday, Christmas Eve last year when we set out on the road, I said, there, other than, of course, having to be at the hotel by 7 or 8 o'clock that evening, you know, I think it was Cedar Lodge we stayed at there in outside of Yosemite. There is going to be no rushing. We're not going to drive like maniacs to try to meet some kind of a time. We are going to relax. We are going to have a great time. And I got to tell you, we stuck to that throughout the entire trip. And it was just we even got off the freeway between Yosemite and Nevada City because it was so slow. And we were starting to feel the stress already. And we started weaving our way through the farm fields. And the beautiful countryside that we saw going up. And it was a vacation, and I envy the two of you your travels. And I know that every day isn't, you know, all Skittles and beer. You know, some days it's wall to wall traffic, and it takes you an hour to go 10 feet. But to be out there amongst the people and experiencing them and what they're going through, and then sharing the ULA experience. This whole aspect of finding balance is incredible. I want to come back following this break here. I want to start going through those seven areas because there are a lot of folks who have not listened to our first interview. I encourage you folks, there is another interview on the website. You need to do a quick little search. It's not that hard to find. Type in ULA and it'll take you right there to the first interview that we did. It was about a year and a half ago, I think. And we want to talk about these steps that people are going to want to deal with. They want to set those kinds of dreams. But as you know, as you've heard me say a number of times in the past, this program is about choices. In other words, giving people choices and knowledge of those choices. It may sound a little redundant, but it's like, all right, I'm going to give you ULA. All right, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week. Well, what is ULA? So we got to tell them about it. And that's what we want to do when we come back. If you guys are game for that?
Sounds great.
Very good. I'm Richard Dugan, and we are talking with both the seeker and the guru of ULA here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We'll give you the website when we come back here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Stay tuned, and Merry Christmas to you.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thanks for staying with us here on the program as we continue talking with our very special guests. And they are, Troy, you said you were in Phoenix. Where are you, Dave? You're in Salt Lake?
I'm in Salt Lake right now, from North Dakota originally.
Okay. Ooh, North Dakota. I kind of like that, especially in the wintertime. Although, what is it, 10, 15 feet of snow and you're stuck in your cabin until the snows thaw in the spring?
That actually sounds more like the mountains in Utah. North Dakota doesn't get a lot of snow.
Okay.
It just gets about 30 to 40 below zero. Man, I'm definitely not working for North Dakota Tourism right now. Sorry. North Dakota is a beautiful, balmy winter destination. I highly recommend everybody go there in January. It's gorgeous. Yep. But no, it's you know, you talked about, before we went to break, you talked about driving through farm fields and the beautiful views and seeing meeting beautiful people,
yeah,
which we get to do on the ULA bus. But that's North Dakota. It's actually farm families, small towns. And if you drove on the interstate straight through, it might be one of the most boring drives you've ever done. But if you get off the road and see these small little communities, and literally the communities thrive off of these farm families that run everything, you know, that's what makes it beautiful, is the people make North Dakota a beautiful place.
Well, I have to say, too, that one of the other commitments or promises that I made my wife, and we did stick to it, and that is we are not going to stop at any and this had nothing to do with, trying to control our diet on vacation. You're not going to eat like you normally do. I says we're not going to eat at any fast food restaurants. It's always going to be some kind of a diner or a restaurant or this kind of thing where the people really, especially of, for example, Nevada City, there were a couple of nice little places there, that we visited. And to me, that is so great. If you go to some of these little diners along the side of the roadway, the highways and so forth, and that's where the real people are. And I'm not saying that the people in the cities aren't real, but it's like what you were talking about. You read off of those statistics, Troy, earlier about where we are as in the West here in the United States with all of our issues. But then there are folks who are. There are actually people out there who, yes, they are struggling, and they would admit that they are struggling, but yet there are some of these folks who are still, they're pretty happy and still optimistic.
I would tell you, Richard, too, on the bus, because the bus is exactly that. So what happened with Ula when the first book came out, Ula just organically took off. So when Ula took off, we were asked to speak at huge venues and big events and big things, and we almost lost the heart of Ula a bit, and that's where the bus came. Is like, we want to connect with people. We do exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
At 58 horsepower, we only go downhill 55 miles an hour.
So put it in neutral.
We're always the guys in the right lane.
Yeah.
And we always find these local restaurants. And every time we pull up in that bus, people want to talk to us because it's just like, what is the deal with the bus? And I read off those stats because that's just the reality of where we are as a culture.
Yes.
We feel it's going the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you, in sitting down at diners and restaurants and small communities and talking to people and having an honest conversation about life, I've never been more hopeful.
Yeah.
Like, you can watch the news, you can read those stats, and you can get really pessimistic really quickly, or you can sit down and talk to a family. And although our goals and dreams are different, if we take two steps back from everybody, everyone just wants to provide for their family. They want to be healthy. They want to have great relationship with and community with family and friends. They have usually an individual passion they want to find the time to pursue. They want to feel financially secure for their future. Everyone wants that. And all we're telling them is, okay, just pause, write that down, and look at that every day and take some action toward it so your dream doesn't get lost in the clutter of day-to-day.
Yeah, and on the one hand, it really isn't that hard. I mean, yeah, we get distracted by all of the stuff that's going on in our lives, trying to pay the bills. And like, your dad was working, what was it, four jobs? Three jobs to keep a family of four or five or six, what have you. I got you beat by two kids, but not me personally, my dad. He raised six kids, but he only, thank God, only had to work one. But still, there were still those times. And then my folks got involved in different things. I have to say that one of the most extraordinary things about a family is when the parents come to the kids and they say, look, there's this thing we want to do as a couple. OK, it's going to take a little time away from you guys, but we wanted to come to you to see how you felt about that. And in our case, with my five other siblings, we said, hey, go for it. If that's what you want to do. Because we felt, I guess, we had our own individual lives at that point in our early teens and so forth. I think my sister was about ready to go off to college. And so, it worked out well. But, yeah, we get distracted so often. And it's really important to find ways to get back on track, as it were, to get focused on those things that are truly and genuinely important. And there are seven steps you gentlemen outline in the book, Find Balance, and under Ula, Find Balance in an Unbalanced World. By the way, you can go to, if I'm correct, guys, ulalife.com. Is that correct?
Yep, that's correct.
All right, and that's OOLALIFE.com, ulalife.com. All kinds of neat stuff there, including a test, which is sort of step one. Let's talk about these seven aspects, if you will, of beginning the process, these seven areas to balance and grow life and to live life, the life of your dreams and so forth. What's number one?
I'll start talking about this, and then we'll let Troy just keep jumping in
sure.
And kind of working through. So for me, you talk about it's simple, and in Nula we say it's simple, but it's not easy, but it's completely worth it. And what we mean by that is that looking at these seven areas of your life, which are fitness, finance, family, field, which is your career, faith, friends, and fun, looking at those seven areas and saying, how can I balance and grow those seven areas more in my life to find what we call the EULA life? And the simple part is there's three simple steps to the EULA life. It's step one, which we're going to talk about right now. It's where you are today. Step two is where do you want to go? What are your dreams and goals for your life? And then step three, which Troy has the best advice, which when people say, how did you get out of the bottom so fast? It lives in step three for me with this 3x5 note card that I want Troy to talk about before we're off the air. And it's simple, but it's not easy because then once you go through step one, two, and three, then you have to apply the effort and the energy and the hustle and work towards your dreams and goals. But it's, then the last part of that, not simple or simple, but it's very worth it because you're going to work hard and it's very worth it. So step one is simply where are you today? And what we tell people all the time, and this is what we see at EULAPALOOZA events, this is what we see when we're teaching EULA around the world, is that people get to step one and then they go into a little bit of a fantasy world. And what we say is you have to get real in step one. So in step one, we say, where are you? 1 to 10, 1 being bad, like I'm in a bad spot, like I'm going through bankruptcy. Like if you envision me in 2010, my finances were in a bad situation. It was like a 1 or 2. And then you have to say 10 is like amazing, like it couldn't get any better. Where are you in these seven areas? So you start going through and you say, okay, family, where am I with my family? You look at your marriage and you say, man, my marriage is, you know, it started off like a 9 and now it's like a 5 after 10 years or 15 years. Or my relationships with my kids are pretty good, but I have this one child who I'm distant with. We don't get along. I've lost them. Or I still have 27-year-old kids living in my house and they're creating issues with our marriage. And you start getting real with looking, where are you with your income? Where are you with your debt? Where are you with your giving? Where are you with your savings? I'll never forget 1997, sitting on the floor of the Hard Rock Hotel in Vegas, and Dr. Troy said to me, he's my guru, he said, where are you with your finances? And I said, dude, I'm amazing. Like, I can't even tell you how amazing I am. I just got my doctorate degree. I'm amazing with my finances. He said, do you have a job? And I'm like, no, but I'm a doctor. So my finances are like a 9. He goes, do you have student loan debt? I'm like, about $120,000 in student loan debt, but my finances are amazing because I'm a doctor. So he goes, so you're a doctor without a job with $120,000 in student loan debt and 3 kids, and you think your finances are amazing. And that's what it is. It's lifting up that rug where we shove stuff under mm-hmm. all year
yeah.
and saying, okay, I'm a doctor. I have $120,000 in student loan debt. I don't have a job. My finances are not that great. I have an education, but my finances aren't that great. And that's really what step one is getting real. And you can go to EULAlife.com and take the wheel test. It's a free test, which will guide you through that process. But it's like, where are you in these seven areas? And the key is you can't go anywhere in life unless you get real with where you are right now. Because when you start getting real with where you are with your debt or your income or your relationships or your friendships, toxic friendships, great friendships, once you get real, that'll start to paint the picture that leads you into step two. So getting real in step one is so important. Once you do that, then you'll start to see, where is all this stress in my life coming from? Where is all this lack of balance coming from? Where's this lack of purpose coming from? And it all sits by getting real in step one. That's the first step, is getting real with where you are in these seven areas.
Mm. And of course, I've actually just now gone to EULAlife.com and I've pulled up the EULA wheel. And you sign in and then you go through the process of that little survey. And I think I took it the last time and I can't even remember how it turned out, but I'm going to have to review that because this is not something you just do once and forget about it. This is a process that is ongoing. I'm curious, Dr. Dave, how has that helped you? Your PhD helped you in this process not only creating EULA, finding balance, and we're going to get back to the seven steps here in a moment, but how has that assisted you in this process? And Troy, I actually want to ask you that same question, especially where you guys are now. But Dave, what about you?
You know, the number one thing, it's going to sound kind of cheesy, the number one thing was through this process when I got to my residency at the end, my internship program, and I said, okay, I want to work at a clinic where I learn how to work with patients, but I also want to work at a clinic where I learn a little bit more about life. I come from a town of 600 people in the middle of North Dakota. And I said, I need to learn a lot about life as well. And they said, there's this clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, and go work there, this guy named Troy. And he seems like he's got business and life figured out. And that's the best thing that ever happened to me of going through and getting my degree was actually working with Troy and learning the process of ULA in 1997, because that's ultimately completely transformed my life, is learning ULA. So that's number one. Number two is, after working with Troy, learning ULA in 1997, coming back, applying it in my own life and in my practice, and just talking to patients all day long, every day, it's an education you don't even know you're getting, because patients come in with pain or symptoms, but so many times their pain and symptoms are related to stress and a life out of balance. They're getting headaches because they're stressed out. They're getting, you know, neck and back pain and muscle spasms because, you know, they're stressed out or they're unfit. They're not taking care of their health. So the whole, every day was learning ULA. And what I didn't realize in that moment was, you know, in practice for all those years, for, you know, 15 years, what it does is, when you're on the ULA bus and you meet someone at a donut shop or coffee shop and you hand them a sticker and a Sharpie and they get tears in your eyes, it brings me back to that. It brings me back to what we have done in practice was work with people, work with patients, and everybody has a story. They're not a symptom. They're not a disease. They're not a headache or a back spasm. They're actually a human that has a story. And to be empathetic and sympathetic with patients has just helped me so much with working through ULA and learning more. And it's taught me how to listen to people and listen to people on the road, and then bring that back to not only my life, but also people who follow ULA and say, how do I get through bad news? And I'm like, well, let me tell you about a girl I met, you know, in Florida. How do I get through, I lost a child. Let me tell you about this person I met in North Dakota. How do I, you know, I just lost everything. What do I do? Let me tell you about Heather, who went to Nicaragua. And it's pulling stories from people. And that's really what I think that the best thing that came out of my schooling.
Well, I commend you, because it's got to be a little scary on the road sometimes. I mean, you're traveling. Do you guys travel a lot at night from one town to the next?
Yeah, usually. I mean, usually we have, a typical day is we do something media in the morning, like TV or radio, and then we drive the bus around and meet people and get to know a community, and then we typically do a book signing in the evening, and then we roll to the next city. I'm telling you, Richard, it's awesome. It's so awesome.
It's awesome and dangerous and freezing and hot and sweaty at 180 degrees and then freezing again and then semis almost running off the road, but it's amazing all in one.
They say, timing is everything. So if you decided to go through a Southern California, Arizona, and New Mexico in the middle of June or July, that's on you, okay?
This is like a joke in ULA. This is a joke in ULA. We did this road trip from Florida all the way to California. April, May, and June, and we're on the bus, and Troy was like, why is it always so hot in the bus? Like, we never complain. There's no air, no heat.
Right.
And we have this rule that we can only complain for 5 minutes.
Okay.
So we go, okay, ready, go. And we're like, my back hurts. I'm sweating. It's 120 degrees in here. My arms are going numb. Troy's left foot is going numb from running the clutch. And we kind of laugh about it. He's like, why is it always so hot in the bus? I'm like, because we always plan tours in the south. Like, I don't get why we do that. And then this last fall, we're driving through a mountain pass in Montana with the ULA bus going like 20, and we're wearing gloves and wrapped in blankets. We're like, why is it always so cold? We're in the ULA bus, like, because we planned the trip through a mountain pass in the fall, you know? So we're going to get a little smarter in 2018, because the choices we made in 2017 weren't that bright when it was 120 degrees in Arizona and we had the bus down there. So we have a better plan for 2018.
Well, that's good. That's good. Now, you say you're on your third engine. Have you ever estimated the number of gallons of fuel that you've used to run that thing across the country? And I know you guys are shooting for a million dreams too, so that's going to double or triple somewhere down the road here in more ways than not.
Yeah, sometimes you follow your heart. You know, there's nobody that sits around like in a boardroom in a marketing meeting and says, you know what would be a great return on investment is buy a beat up old bus and collect one sticker at a time on your way to a million. That makes zero sense. As we order engines, you know, online, and we meet mechanics in every city, but I am telling you that it doesn't always have to make sense.
Right.
I mean, we're at a point now where, and I think that's the organic attraction to ULA, is that it's we see people who put stickers on bus and then they reach out to us on social media 6 months later. And there was a gal just who reached out this week, and she posted on our Facebook page that she met us at a gas station. Like, it takes us 45 minutes to pump fuel because every time we pull up into a gas station late at night, well, first of all, everyone walks up thinking we're selling weed. So we have to kind of, like, disclaim that. Like, hey, no, that's not what this bus is. But we are collecting dreams. And she met us at a gas station and she put a dream that I want to be healthy and feel confident. And she said, I'm down 97 pounds since I met you guys at a gas station.
Oh, wow.
I don't even recall the meeting. You know, we meet so many people.
Yeah.
But something about that bus told her that she was capable and that she was worth it. And now was her time. And she took that as a sign, like, you know what? I've been pushing this aside for too long. It's starting to affect my health, not only my health personally, but my self-worth, and it's starting to affect my key relationships. And she just met us at a gas station, and she's down 97 pounds.
Wow.
So it's like, that's when the bus makes sense. So
yeah.
when we're buying engines online or meeting mechanics or, you know, it doesn't make sense. But one sticker like that, and there's countless, by the way, someone reaching back 6, 9, 12 months later saying that one interaction changed my life, that's what keeps us rolling.
One thing, Richard, I would like to do for your listeners, too,
please.
Is like Troy does Money Monday on Facebook Live.
Okay.
At Ula Life, facebook.com/Ula Life, Money Monday. Have to listen to it.
Well,
he's like a money guru. But then on Tuesday, I do Transformation Tuesday, and it's those stories. And Richard, it'll blow you away. It's that. It's losing 97 pounds. It's putting the marriage back together. It's that. And that's what the bus is all about. And that's what makes the cold mountain passes of Montana and the hot summer 120-degree deserts worth it, is you just don't know who you're going to meet around the next corner. And it's just so... it's such an incredible gift that we've been given to go share Ula. It's just hard to explain.
Now, I could get into some of the more practical aspects of your journey, and I may ask in a bit here, but I've also been, of course, looking through your great little compendium here called Ula, Find Balance in an Unbalanced World. This is having to do with the seven areas. You need to balance and grow to live the life of your dreams. And that's what we talk about on this program all the time, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true, to find those new paradigms for a new world. And quite honestly, this is I have to say that with the exception of conducting interviews on the road, and obviously you're talking with people all the time. You remind me, of course, of a gentleman going back a few years that I remember. I don't know if you two gentlemen remember. Probably you do. A guy by the name of Charles Kuralt. And he used to travel around in his RV with a cameraman. And he would interview the people who actually keep this country going. And who are living their lives. And that's one of the things that I want to do. I want to get in an RV with a small little studio. You don't need much these days. And travel. I've even mapped out. I kid you not. I could almost travel the entire globe. And I got to do. And timing is important. Start at the tip of South America. Work my way up through the Americas. Through Canada. Alaska. And then, of course, like I said, timing is everything. In the winter, cross the Bering Strait into Asia and Russia and, and of course, through the Asian countries and India and then into the Middle East, through Europe. I could go down to Africa. And this is all driving. I don't have to, I don't have to do anything. I could take the channel down under to England. Now, here's where it gets problematic. I got to get a barge and get the thing over to Ireland, which is where I want to wind up. The only country we would miss or continent, I don't know if it's... tells you how much I remember from geography class. I don't remember if Australia is a continent or not. It's an island, I know that much. It's a big one. But that's, it's like, that's not impossible. It's doable if you're willing to...
Very doable.
You
very
know,
cool.
You know, and so that, and talk with the people who are wanting to do more than just survive. They want to thrive. And that's what you guys are promoting here, is a life of thriving.
You're laying out, Richard, you're laying out a big dream, which is what we advocate. So, like, if we met you and you said, hey, we never met you before, and you said, hey, I want to grab a bus and a studio and do this, we know this. We know that you're capable. But the next question is, are you willing to do the work?
Yeah.
I mean, are you willing to, like, it's one thing to write it down, think about it, map it out in your head. Are you willing to buy an RV and look at shipping it to another country and look at visas and do the actual, those are the steps that are milestones to that big dream.
Yeah.
For sure you're capable.
Sure.
For sure the technology's there.
Mm-hmm.
For sure the roads are built. But are you willing to put in the work to make it happen?
Yeah.
And we say, if that's a big dream, make it happen.
Yeah.
It's like, I was just reading on Twitter, David Cassidy passed away.
Yeah.
I saw it on Twitter, and I saw his last words.
Yeah.
Were so much wasted time.
Yeah, I saw that.
Michael, his daughter. So much wasted time. Like, we waste time watching the Kardashians. We waste time on social media. We waste time complaining. Well, what is your dream? And instead of wasting time on something that doesn't matter, why don't you invest in something that does, which is a dream that's connected to your purpose?
Yeah. Absolutely right. You couldn't, and I was a big fan of his and the Partridge Family and all of that stuff. Matter of fact, it was my very first album I ever bought as a kid. I still have it. Strangely enough, I still have it, the vinyl. And I was actually rather saddened by those final words of his, thinking, wow, you know, I mean, and he's 10 years older than me. He's only 10 years older than me at his passing.
And I saw those words, and they didn't sadden me. They inspired me. They motivated me. Like, I'm not going to waste time.
Yeah.
I'm going to make my life matter. I'm going to invest in relationships. I'm going to pay off debt. I'm going to get in shape. I'm going to, whatever it is you want to do.
Yeah.
It's like, this is someone who had all kinds of opportunity in his life, saying, you know what? There's a lot of wasted time in those years.
Well, you guys you have a section in your book here. It's actually called the OOLA blockers: fear, guilt, anger, self-sabotage. What is this other one here? Oh, laziness, envy, and a focus. And, you know, I think when I go through these, I think, okay, well, the one that's, you know, fear certainly is huge for most people. But envy, that you look at other people around you, is probably one of the reasons why I don't go to high school reunions. Is because I don't want to be there and have achieved what I've achieved and then start the comparison process with everybody else and thinking, oh, I don't measure up and I wish I was where they were and da-da-da-da-da-da. So I try to keep it focused on, you know, what I'm doing and what I'm trying to accomplish and then making those choices. So we want to get through those. And by the way, more information is found, of course, at OOLALife.com. OOLA, find balance in an unbalanced world. We encourage you to pick up a copy of the book, and we encourage you to go to the website as well. There are also, let's talk a little bit about the accelerators of gratitude, love, discipline, integrity, passion, humility, and wisdom. Let's start, strangely enough, let's start with humility. I remember going back, what was it, I can't remember how many years ago, but it was during the early part of this century, over the last 17 years, there was this group of people who were really fed up kind of with the system and so forth. And they were, you know, being told that the government was going to do this, that, and the other thing. And they came out and said, I did this. In other words, they had started their own business, which, of course, they certainly did. But they were making the statement that I did this by myself. With no help from anybody else, blah, 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 blah. And I sit there going, do you understand that I'm sitting with you, Dave, and you, Troy, right now, and I'm beholden to everybody that I've come across? Yes, I did the legwork, okay? I've done the interviews. But what I've learned from everybody else on this road, I owe them all a great debt. And to me, that's something that shows our connectedness. That, you know, I'm learning from you guys too. Like I said, I not in a selfish way envy you. Although I would love to be on the road in that regard. I think it's what a awesome experience. But let's talk a little bit about that aspect of humility, in regards to generating more drive and living the passion and making those dreams come true.
I what's happening to it, we just like observing the culture. And what you discussed in this overview of OOLA are the last three sections of the book. If we set a dream or we set a goal, what's going to happen is you're going to put that on paper and you're going to take action toward it, and you're going to run into section three of the book called blockers, which are the fear and the guilt and the anger and the straight-up laziness. And then you're going to have to take three steps, which is section five, But the section you're talking about is our accelerators, and people that we've met, people we've studied who have achieved their dreams, have embraced these concepts in their life. And the people that are the most successful, not the ones that will tell you how great they are, the ones that, in our mind, are the most balanced and successful in all seven key areas, embrace humility. And we're in a culture of social media where there's this thing of, like, false humility, like, aw shucks, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm so blessed. I mean, it's just almost... it's almost nauseating. It's like a passive way of being humble when you can tell there isn't humility in it. And what we're talking about is not that. It's like, what are you willing to do with no secondary gain to benefit another person?
Mm-hmm.
With nothing, like, nothing in return. No one's going to give you a plaque. No one's going to put it on a stage. No one's going to post it on social media. But are you simply kind for the purpose of being kind to a community and to add value? Can you put others before yourself? Could you go to the grocery store and put away two shopping carts? I went jogging this morning and just someone left their dog garbage, you know, on the street. And it's like, could someone pick up that bag? And can I pick that up and take it 15 steps to the garbage?
Yeah.
Just simple things of like kindness. And the people that we meet are the most successful, understand they're part of a community.
Yeah.
It's not just me. And actually, they're the most successful financially, the most successful in their relationships, the most successful in their businesses, because they understand this concept. And really, the only way to differentiate false humility from true humility is only the person knows, because it's in their heart. Like, what is the motive of me being kind?
Yeah.
Is it because I'll you know, do better in business, get a new client, or is it because truly it's just the right thing to do?
It's funny when you put it that way. I think about, you know, tax time is coming up here, and I know that one element that hopefully is still in the process is you know, this whole aspect of charitable contributions and, you know, tax deductible charitable contributions. And when I first started learning about that back in my late teens, early 20s, when I was starting to head into this whole adult world and filing my taxes, I thought, why? Why would I give a gift of money, in this case, in order to get some kind of return? I thought that the whole aspect of giving a charitable contribution was to give a charitable contribution, not for some tax advantage. And so, not that I've given hundreds or thousands of dollars to various groups, but what little I have given over the course of time, never have I ever put it on my taxes, because that's not the reason that I gave. And so I find that whole aspect, when people look at it from that perspective, I'm going, then what's the point? You know, because you're just doing it for selfish gain. Let it go and just give from the heart. And that's what you guys are.
If everyone did that, if everyone did one kind act for someone else each day, that with nothing in return, I mean, the world would be a better place. This is how real life changes. This is how the world changes. It's like, if you look at those accelerators, if you embrace those, that makes the world better. If you avoid the blockers, I want to go back to those because it's so important. I love statistics.
Okay.
And since we're at that time of the year, that 8% of the resolution set this year in 17 for 18, only 8% will happen. And what we found in writing our books and in speaking and teaching about goal setting is that the solution, if you're one of those 91% that have set a resolution that hasn't happened, it lives in section 3 of our books, which is the blockers. You're running into one of those, or in section 5, which are the you don't know how to set goals tactically. There's actually a statistical way to set goals that you can achieve them. Rather than saying I want to be healthy, that's not happening, because it's not measurable,
right?
And it's too ambiguous. You don't have a date on it. So if you're reading the books, make sure to spend extra time on sections 3, especially if you struggled in setting goals or hitting goals. It usually lives in section 3, which are the OOLA blockers, and section 5, which are the 3 simple steps.
Well, you guys, I have to say, you know, awesome what you're doing, what you've been doing, and the concepts that you guys have come up with over the past 20 years, and the fact that people's lives, there's no question that people's lives are being changed because you're getting those kinds of tweets and other emails and other responses on the road. And you say, was I correct? Because I saw something. I thought I saw something there. Yeah, there was actually a total here. 83,177 dreams collected to date, which is amazing. So you're not too far from one-tenth of your goal. You started collecting these stickers on the van when?
We started in Coronado. Dave will have to hop in because I'm not great. Maybe 2 years ago. That was our first trip with our sons up the PCH from all the way to San Francisco. So I believe it was a blue bus that was shipped into San Diego, and we just did a father-son. That was one of our dreams, to take our sons up to PCH and just slow it down. And ironically, the very first sticker that we put on the bus was our own, and it was on the driver's side handle on a sunny afternoon in Coronado, and we grabbed our own Sharpie, and it was a faith one, actually a faith sticker, and it said, "Change the world with a word." And it's now buried 18 or 19 layers thick underneath that handle. And we always said if we had a mulligan, if we could do that over, we would add a word. And the word we'd add is together. Because now we've realized people like Heather, who went to Nicaragua and collected 8,000 stickers, is helping us. People who are talking about it with their family and collecting dreams are helping us. It's a community of people that said, hey, we don't have to settle for average when extraordinary is within us. I wasn't built for this. You heard the statistics of health and finance and relationship and jobs. I wasn't built for this. I was built for something more. And let's, as a community, let's think of one thing we can do in our life to make our life better. And as our lives become better, we'll inspire the people around us to do the same.
That state of awareness, it is when you when your life is balanced and growing in the seven key areas of life, the seven F's of ULAL, which are fitness, finance, family, field, or career, faith, friends, and fun. That is ULA, and we encourage you to go to the website, ulalife.com. Gentlemen, again, kudos to the both of you. And who knows, maybe one of these days we'll see each other on the road and spend a little time together and do another interview in that respect. And hopefully I'll get a chance the next time you roll through Central California, if in fact I'm still here, get a chance to see that incredible van that you guys are driving and all those stickers. I can only imagine that the thickness of the walls has got to be about an inch, maybe an inch and a half added around the van, which actually makes it a little more secure. It's kind of holding it together, isn't it?
Exactly, like duct tape.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, folks, there is, when you pick up a copy of the book, ULA, Find Balance in an Unbalanced World, there is a sticker in the back of the book. Now, how would one, gentlemen, get this sticker to the van if it's not coming, say, to their area? Is there a way they can mail it to you and then you'll put it on the van?
There are two ways. One is, yeah, there's a way on the website. You can actually, people are doing that right now. They're reading the book because the point of the book is to guide you to one change in your life that would dramatically transform your life.
Mm-hmm.
So when you finish the book, you'll hopefully, we've guided you to a process of putting a Sharpie to that sticker, and you can mail it to us. There's an address on the website, and we'll put it on the bus. Or you can submit it online at ulalife.com, and you can keep your sticker like on your bathroom mirror to look at it every day so you never lose sight of your dream.
And that's really important, to keep that focus so that you continue to move forward. Troy, I want to thank you. And Dave, I want to thank you, both of you, so much. Troy is the guru, ULA guru, and Dave is the ULA seeker. But they're both just doing some incredibly wonderful and miraculous work. You guys are doing something that I know that a lot of folks would love to be a part of, and they can do that by going to ulalife.com. And any final words of wisdom or direction you would suggest as we wrap up this Christmas edition of Tell Me Your Story?
The one thing I want to say, and I want Troy to jump in on his one thing, but the one thing, it really the core of ULA is your design for greatness and a purpose. And it really comes down to getting outside this craziness of life where you're going from, you know, dropping off kids at soccer games and going to family dinners and going to work and coming back home and sitting in traffic, to take the time, like, because you're worth it, to take the time to get outside of that craziness and look at your life in these seven areas and say, where am I, where do I want to go, and how am I going to get there? And then commit to writing down one thing you're going to change in 2018, which can be the domino effect in your life that will start to create change in all seven areas. So that's really just take the time, because you're worth it, to get outside that craziness and look at your life in these seven areas.
And for me, I actually want to end with a quote. It's from Henry David Thoreau, and he said, "Most men lead lives in quiet desperation and go to the grave with the song still in them." It's like, you are built for extraordinary things. So why in the world would you settle for an ordinary life?
Hmm. I even heard of one wonderful one, and I'll leave you guys with, having to do with life is not a walk, if you will. It's a run, a race, and that when you get to the end of the race, you should have, I'm trying to remember all of the elements of this, you know, maybe a glass of champagne in one hand, and then there's something else in the other hand, and you come to the end of your life, and you are completely spent and exhausted, but you had a great time on the run, something along those lines. And
love it.
You know, and so again, gentlemen, thank you so much. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to the two of you. And we look forward to seeing and hearing from you again in 2018.
All right. Thank you, Richard.
Sounds great. Thank you, Richard.
You bet. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love Talal.